You're listening to Pod Wars with Gary and Justice.
So I watched Sinister 2 recently, and okay, tell me if my place is haunted or if this actually happens with your Xbox. The entire night after watching that, my Xbox, and still doing it, will just randomly turn on when nobody's pressing it. And it scares the ever-loving hell out of me. So, like, I was watching Sinister, and I'd be sitting there just, like, reading a book, and then suddenly my Xbox would turn on. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, we definitely have demons who are just, like, screwing with me.
Yeah, no, I don't struggle with that. So, you should get your Xbox checked out, or unplug it, plug it back in, or...
Or, like, get some holy water and salt and call Sam and Dean Winchester.
Exactly.
Anyway, guys, we are Pod Wars. My name's Gary. His name's Justice. Justice, can you say hi to the Pod Nation?
Hello.
So, we got some nerdy nuggets for you in this episode. Some Mandalorian, some WandaVision. But first, let's start out with a little Twitter tidbits.
Live from the Pod Nation. We bring you Twitter tidbits.
Yeah, so we got some cool announcements coming up. We got a lot of people who are interested in coming on the pod. We're not really going to name names yet until they actually confirm it, but one person has. So we are doing a collaboration with Comic Book Couples Counseling. That episode should probably drop around October 20th. Their podcast is super, super cool. They kind of dissect the relationships within comic books, like looking at the characters, and they kind of, you know, you analyze and come up with like just like different ways of like how the character relationship works, if that makes sense. Gary, what do you think?
I was just listening to their one on Thanos and Deadpool and Thanos and Death, and it's kind of cool. They start out it by describing like something like an Enneagram or these different personality markers and things that apply to a relationship and then apply it to the comic book character. And so they delve deep into like the absolutely absurd relationship between Thanos and Death, and it's super awesome. And I haven't decided yet. I know we've been debating this too. Let us know on Twitter what you guys think would be a cool couple to talk about with Comic Book Couples Counseling. Rey and Kylo, Anakin Padme, Leia and Han. Let us know who you think. I would say Rey and Kylo, but I don't want the Reylos to personally attack me.
Yeah, I'm slightly nervous. I think it'd be easier to talk about Anakin and Padme just because that relationship is so weird and there's just so many facets and layers going to it that I feel like that would just be like a really, really fun one to dive deep into.
We could talk about how age differences factor into a relationship.
And we could talk about how sand really affects everything.
It's so coarse, rough, and irritating. But we're excited to join up with them. Check them out again. They're Comic Book Couples Counseling. We're excited to join them. Also, we want to give a congrats to Dave and Liv, from Pizza and Parsecs, who collaborated with us on the Sol and Gillen run for Darth Vader. Congrats on you guys for your marriage and the wedding and all the goodness that comes after.
Yeah, they're part of the Red 5 Network. And if you're looking for other cool podcasts that, you know, talk about Star Wars, that I would go and check them out, and definitely check out Pizza and Parsecs. Give them some love. Now, for the official Twitter tidbits. We didn't do a poll this week, which is totally fine because Gary and I were extremely busy just with work, and he's doing continuing ed. But we're going to talk about the past couple polls that we came out with, both Star Wars related. So the first one was a Mark Hamill poll, and I asked, if Star Wars announced a new project in between episode 5 and 6 centered around Luke Skywalker, would you rather have the character played by a de-aged Mark Hamill or Sebastian Stan? And I definitely thought a lot of people were going to go with Mark Hamill just because of how much people beloved that him playing that character. But actually, 83% people voted for Sebastian and only 17% voted for Mark.
Not too surprising because, one, the de-aging technology definitely falls into that uncanny valley where it's just slightly off-putting and you don't quite know why. And also Sebastian Stan, guys, look up on Google just Sebastian Stan, Mark Hamill comparison pictures. They look so similar. Like Mark Hamill when he's younger and Sebastian Stan, like it's insane.
Oh, right. There's always been like comparisons, and I think they even like talked about it before how they would both want Sebastian to play a character or play Luke. So I think I voted for Sebastian. I think he's a fantastic Winter Soldier, and I think he would be a really great Luke as well. And then the second poll that we had was about Star Wars animals. So I was talking with Gary, and I was like, you know, what would be a really funny poll? What if we took the arena animals in Episode 2 and you could tame them as a pet? Which one would you rather have? And so there was like there's the Akle, which is like the praying mantis monster, the Reek, which
the
is
the one
like
who fought Obi-Wan.
Yeah. The Reek, which is the rhino that Anakin rides, and then the Nexu, which is the one that Padme fights. And the Nexu is the one that won with 60%. The Akle was 40%. And then the Reek got 0%. So no love for the rhino. Probably because it was Anakin.
I mean, because it was Anakin, and yeah. Granted, I probably would have voted for the Reek, the rhino guy, just because, like, the praying mantis one weirds me out, and then the other one has, like, those, like, multiple eyes, so it's kind of like a lion, but you have, like, four bug eyes looking at you, and it kind of freaks me out.
But you could train it to where, like, if there's multiple, like, deer or whatever you're hunting to, like, look at all the different things, and so, like, it could maybe plan out a way to attack and get multiple victims instead of just one, you know, one baby duck or something.
One baby duck? What kind of things are you hunting, bro? You have a gigantic freaking puma, and it comes back with a baby duck. You're like, all right, thanks. This is like a snack.
Well, you know, along the way, he kills an elk, brings it back to you. Then, he runs through some water, maybe, you know, grabs a duck, and then you're like, oh, cool. I have, you know, different types of meat that I get to eat throughout the week.
Kind of like how when your pet, like your dog or your cat, kills a mouse or something and it shows up with its corpse and puts it in front of you being like, this is my trophy that I've won for you.
So I saw something funny about cats where the reason that they do that is because they think that you're like, cats don't meow to other cats. They only meow and communicate with humans. And then I was also like, they were saying that they bring animals to you to show you like, hey, like this is how you hunt for food because you're obviously not doing it right. And I thought that was kind of funny.
So it's not a showing of love, it's being like, hey, you're not doing your job, I'm obviously better at it than you, here's the corpse of my last prey, learn from it, this.
Yeah, it's like I see you that you're not, you know, you're not working, and you're like, I'm going to teach you how to actually survive. It's like a motherly instinct.
While at the same time, you're giving it all of its food and shelter and literally providing everything for it. And it shows up with the mouse being like, you can do better.
Exactly. All right. And then we're going to round out the Twitter tidbits with some of the people that follow this. Thank you, guys. We got the Prancing Pony, the Storyland and Bingo, sorry about that, Robin Slim, and the Project Entertainment Network. Thank you, guys. Hope you guys are checking us out. We're checking out your guys' content. So thank you.
Now let's bring Twitter tidbits to a close and jump into some nerdy nuggets.
Nuggets. Crispy nuggets. Spicy nuggets. Nerdy nuggets.
All right, so I feel like we haven't done this in a really long time. I feel like we pre-recorded a couple episodes, and then now, like, we had an interview, so, like, this is, like, one of the, and then we did, like, the 100th episode, so, like, this is, like, the first time I feel like we've done Nerdy Nuggets, so there's quite a bit of content that we need to catch up on.
Oh, absolutely. There was, like, I took a ton of different screenshots throughout the week of, like, oh, I want to talk about this on the podcast, because there's a lot within just gaming and media that's gone on.
Right. Oh, yeah. So this is going to be fun. And this is probably going to be a good section of the podcast today. So you get to hear our thoughts and what we think about. So the first one we're going to talk about is Black Widow is officially being pushed back to May 7th, 2021. What are your thoughts on that, Gary?
I feel like Black Widow is not going to come out into theaters until Corona is over, which, based off of everything on the news, is apparently going to be never. So I'm like, it's going to be like 2021 comes, it'll be pushed to 2022. And I don't know, that's just the pessimist in me saying that.
I can see why Disney wants to release this like via theater. One, I think Black Widow deserves her due. Two, they obviously put a ton of money into this movie, but they have had some success with the Mulan movie going to their Disney Plus. So I'm slightly shocked they haven't just released it to Disney Plus.
Yeah, I get it, because I haven't seen the numbers yet on whether Mulan's done well. I just know that everyone I've talked to is like, I'm just going to wait until past December when it's on Disney Plus anyway, which right. is understandable. But I also kind of wish Mulan does well, because that way we can get all this Marvel content we've been waiting for, and Disney isn't kind of held back worrying that it's not profitable.
Right. And we've talked about this, like the $30 for seeing Mulan in the grand scheme of things. If you were going to the theaters and you were bringing your family, like you're in the end saving money. But again, I would say that of the Marvel movies and Disney Plus shows that's being released, this one is probably my least like one that I'm hyped for, but I'm obviously going to go see it. Like, it's Marvel. I love Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. I'm excited to see the guy from Stranger Things. I'm blanking on his name. David. Oh man. I'm sorry. I'm so excited to see him, to see like the Russian version of Captain America. So
same.
It'll be fun. I think it'll be good.
Okay, speaking of Captain America, though, I forgot to tell you about this, dude. So I saw a report that apparently there are talks going on about John Krasinski playing an alternate universe Captain America in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. So don't know the legitimacy of this. It is currently in the rumor mill land, but I think that would be dope. I still want John Krasinski to play Mr. Fantastic, but since he wasn't he going to be casted as Captain America or considered for the role, it'd be kind of nice to have him play an alternate universe version.
Yeah, I think he was considered for the role. I did see that the star of the movie Tenet, which is a Christopher Nolan's most recent movie, he said he'd be interested in playing Mr. Fantastic. So I think if they were going to move it with him, then they could have John Krasinski play this ultimate, Captain America or a different multiverse. I just want John Krasinski in the Marvel Universe, honestly.
Same. And I still want him and his wife to be Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman. I think they would be so perfect for that role and finally get a Fantastic Four that doesn't suck.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The next topic, and I didn't realize this until I started doing some research for this podcast, but Marvel is working on a live-action Nick Fury series for Disney+, and Samuel Jackson is reprising his role. So that's got me hyped. I love Samuel Jackson. I look at all his movies he's in. Obviously, he's in Star Wars. But, I mean, the dude plays a really good Nick Fury. Where would you want this series to take place? Like, we haven't gotten a lot of backstory on Captain America. Or, sorry, Nick Fury. But we also have that post-edit credit scene with Far From Home and Spider-Man where he's in space. I don't know. Where do you think this story is going to pick up?
So my thoughts are, and this is kind of leading to what we're eventually going to talk about too, is that the Nick Fury series is going to very much coincide with the Falcon and Winter Soldier, and how they're going to basically form like the more Disney Plus Marvel universe. I don't know how WandaVision is going to fit into that, but I feel like we're going to see a continuation of this timeline with Nick Fury kind of off of that Far From Home teaser versus a prequel. And I definitely think there's going to be a lot of overlap between that and Winter Soldier.
So they bring up the WandaVision. One of the reports that I said that it they're introducing S.W.O.R.D., which if you are familiar with Marvel Comics, is like the space universe version of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I think that's how it's going to play in with WandaVision, with Loki, with whatever. They're going to introduce S.W.O.R.D. into WandaVision. They're going to have this, you know, Nick Fury series go on, and it's gonna kind of, you know, explain why was he in space and why was there a version of him, you know, at the end of the movie.
Interesting. I mean, there's so much to explore with Skrulls that are just like waiting for Marvel to go at it.
Hot take: I do not like the Skrulls. I can't stand the Kree when it comes to Marvel comic stories. I know Marvel just did a huge event called Empire, and I mean, it was interesting. They had some pretty good writers. It was Dan Slott and Al Ewing. But I, I, I really don't. I could care less. Like, give me Galactus. Give me Fantastic Four. I mean, give me Fantastic Four. Give me X-Men. Let's stay away from the Krees and the Skrull. That's a really hot take, though.
I don't know. Because Secret Invasion, dude, is such a cool plot line. And just that paranoia idea of not knowing who is a Skrull and who isn't. Granted, I don't think Captain Marvel really set that up super well. So I don't know what direction they're going to take it.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I think I would be curious to see what happens in Captain Marvel 2 when that comes out. I don't know when that's coming out. But I mean, it'd be interesting to see like how they set up this secret invasion, if that's what they go and plan on doing. I did see rumors that they're thinking about the next big villain is Kang the Conqueror. But
yeah, I don't know too much about him. I just saw the report on the actor they are thinking of getting.
Yeah, the guy from Lovecraft Country. He's really good. I like him a lot. And that's a really great series too, if you're interested in and want like a more us or in, out, what is it? Get out kind of stuff. All right. So the next topic, Falcon and Winter Soldier is officially coming in 2021. I believe that got pushed back obviously because of COVID. Gary, of the Disney Plus series, which one are you most excited for?
I'm excited for Falcon and Winter Soldier, 'cause I think the two have like a fun dynamic, and that I just love both characters, and it'll be cool to see their storylines go on in more of that episodic TV version versus just the movie. But, I mean, we're going to get to it eventually. I'm really psyched for WandaVision. Like, I'm really excited for that one above all of them.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm excited that we get to have the opportunity to break down the trailer, give our thoughts. So I'm hyped about that.
Now, more on the gaming front, there's been some spiciness going on between Xbox and PS5. So PlayStation and Xbox have had a long-term rivalry on who's going to kind of come out of the console war on top. And there's been little things coming out, like PS5 is trying to do both a disc and no-disc option so that you can spend about $100 less for a downloads-only console, which is really nice nowadays. And they're also saying how, this is something I'm psyched for, there's a Harry Potter RPG that's announced it release for PS5. So far, as far as I've seen, you can correct me if I'm wrong for Justice or Pod Nation here, all I've seen is that they're releasing the Harry Potter RPG for PS5. Now, it's supposed to be called Hogwarts Legacies, and I'm just psyched with the idea of Harry Potter getting like this open world Skyrim kind of feel. Like, that's what I want from Star Wars eventually, but to have it for that franchise is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I saw the report. I don't know about if it's an exclusive or not, but I did see the game, like the concept of it, and I thought it was really fascinating. Like, to be able to go and just explore Hogwarts would be extremely fascinating, extremely fun. Casting spells, doing whatever. I don't know like what the game is all going to entail, like if it's going to follow like the movies or it's just going to be this, you know, other story like the Shadow of War and Shadow of Mordor, Lord of the Rings games. That's what I'm kind of expecting it to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like it. I mean, you know, I love Skyrim and Elder Scrolls type games. I'd love it to be something like that where you get to choose your house and like have this extra RPG element. But it's probably going to be more in that Shadow of War kind of front where it's a little bit smaller scale, which I'd still love. But on other game news too, so PS5 had just released a huge lineup of games that are going to be exclusive only to their console. So including a Demon's Souls remake. So that's the one that precedes Dark Souls. It's kind of a cult classic among gamers. They're going to modernize it. The Spider-Man Miles Morales, of course. And adding into this God of War Ragnarok. Now, Justice, you've mentioned before a ton of times how God of War is like one of your favorite games ever.
Oh, yeah. God of War for the PS4 is... Oh, man. It was phenomenal. Like, just the action, the game mechanics, the open worldness to it, but also like how it's very much got a story to it. And like the cliffhangers that you leave at the end, like it makes you want to play it even more and go back. Plus I've never spent like more time trying to defeat one mission than I did when I was beating the Valkyrie. And I think I spent like 8 hours one time just trying to beat one Valkyrie. And like that's how much like love I have for this game. To be able to spend a whole day trying to beat something and, you know, like take a break, eat, go back. And I remember Morgan came in, she's like, "You're still on the same thing?" I'm like, "Yeah, because it's freaking hard."
You were like an anime battle where it takes like 20 episodes for one thing to pass. Like, that's kind of how you were with that fight.
Yeah, I remember just Snapchatting you guys being like, still in the same thing. But like, that's just how awesome this game is to be able to spend that much time playing it and love it. So I'm excited to see where they go. The story definitely isn't finished, and so I like the fact that they're adding more Norse mythology to the God of War franchise.
And there's so many awesome cliffhangers, both in the actual like end of campaign and then the post end campaign content, that you're like, I don't want to spoil it for you guys if you haven't played the God of War on PS4, because you definitely need to, but it's gonna be so good. Granted, though, also, I'm conflicted, because the other report is, because I'm a huge God of War fan, is like you are, Justice, with the most recent entry, but I'm also a huge Elder Scrolls fan. And recently, Xbox, through Microsoft, has just bought out the parent company for Bethesda, and so now they own the Elder Scrolls series. And I saw that, and I'm like, shoot, that means the 6th Elder Scrolls game that's eventually going to come out is going to probably be an Xbox exclusive. So gaming fans are now stuck, torn between two things. You got PS4 with a huge amount of lineup with like The Last of Us, Spider-Man, God of War. But then you got the epicness and the long-awaited Elder Scrolls owned now by Xbox. And so I'm like, shoot, what do I do?
Yeah, I saw, I think it was like a funny TikTok where it was this guy comparing and contrasting the specs and the games and whatnot between the PS5 and the Xbox, whatever new version it is. Their names are always dumb. But I really don't know which one I'm going to go with. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know for sure I'm not going to get it until they stop making, like, when they stop making Xbox One games and they stop making PS4 games is when I will probably officially switch to the new console.
Same. And I have to wait a while before I do the switch, because I regretted buying Xbox One first, because PS4 this generation had so many good titles that you could only play on that. And I don't want to be caught in the same trap. So, like, I'm going to definitely wait on it.
Oh, me too. And I mean, if you've listened to this pod and if you are friends with me, you know for a fact that I cannot stand the Xbox One, which is probably like a hot take for some people. I can't stand it. I love the PS4, love the game exclusives. But yeah, it's going to be a struggle, because Halo has a really, like, you know, a place in my heart, but I really love Spider-Man and God of War. So we'll see what happens. Maybe I can convince my wife to get both. I just have to like separate it out. So like, be like, hey, like, you know, this is broken, but we have both and we need both. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to try to like sandwich it in between like good news so that she can only get so mad or something. Be like, hey, I got a raise. By the way, how about we get this or something? Or like wait till she does something really, really terrible and then be like, well, I bought the new PS5, so then she can't be quite as pissed. I don't know. Think of strategic husband strategies for me, bro.
Oh, I'm just going to come up and be like, I got you an orange female tabby, because that's what she wants really bad. And be like, but I also bought the PS5, so here you go. He's another cat.
Yeah, I'd have to come up with a puppy and be like, so contingent on staying married with me is like, you get to keep the puppy, but you have to keep me if you keep the puppy.
Nerdy Nuggets.
All right, dude. You ready to move on to some trailers?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to talk some Mando, some Wanda, and some High Republic stuff.
So which one should we start on first, man?
I think we should start with Mando. I think because that's been out the longest, and a lot of people have probably already heard multiple people talk about it. So you're only listening to this because you want to hear us and see what we have to say about it.
So low-key, it's been one of those weeks. I just watched the Mando trailer today. So, like, I texted you and Evan freaking out. And, like, I could tell you were probably like, dude, it's been out for, like, 2 weeks now.
Yep. Yep. I didn't respond because I was just like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? And also, we are recording Monday, September 28th. So, yes, Gary is way, way, way behind on actually watching this trailer. What were your thoughts, Gary?
Well, like, part of why I waited so long is because I wanted to be emotionally prepped for it. You know, like, I didn't want to go in too hyped or too, like, expecting too much. Just enjoy it for what it is. And I loved it. I thought it really teased a lot that were great. It gave us Baby Yoda moments. And it has a lot of stuff in there that I feel like us nerds can just pick apart and be like, okay, what the heck is this? I also really love that they didn't show Ahsoka in the trailer. Because that would have pissed me off, because that moment needs to be in the TV show.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. I did talk about it on the Red 5 Live. I sat there. I didn't really say much. But after I've watched the trailer like 7 times now, I am really excited for this season. I think I cannot wait. There is just so much that happens in the trailer, but they also don't show you a whole lot, if that makes sense. Like, it's cut very well to where there's, like you were saying, there's enough parts to pick out, but they're not really teasing anything other than the fact that it sounds like this whole season is going to be Mando helping Baby Yoda find Jedi. Because I remember when we were talking about in the last season, there was the, well, so she says, like, you need to go and find his people. Well, is that, you know, the species of Yoda, or is that Jedi? And it's very crystal clear from the trailer that he is set out to find these evil sorcerers, which I think is a super cool concept to call the Jedi from like the Mandalorian perspective. Like, what would a Jedi be to them? These evil sorcerers.
That is really cool that you bring that up, because we never see, well, we get kind of glimpses of what the outside world think of Jedi, but you don't see that kind of demonized view that often. It's something that fans talk about of like, hey, maybe the Jedi aren't as good as people say, but this is them explicitly saying that a lot of people view them as just evil and kind of weird.
Right, like we get the, like especially in the Clone Wars season 7, we get from like a Coruscant level view of people who are supposed to be protected by Jedi and how they don't like them. And then we've also had a whole series of, you know, the Sith and how they view about it. But this is the first time where we're introduced, or like we're, I guess not like from like a TV perspective, I think, where, you know, you have a certain group of people who have battled Jedi in the past, and like this is how they, like through their history, this is how they view them. So I think that's interesting. One of the things that stuck out to me was, who's the lady in that cloak when, you know, Mando's walking by, she's sitting by the crates. I don't know who that is. Some people have speculated it's Sabine. Some people have speculated it's, you know, someone that's working for Ahsoka. I don't really know. What are you thinking?
That's one that I saw that and I'm like, they're obviously teasing something, but I have no idea what. Yeah, I feel like it's a fake out because it kind of insinuates that that's probably a Jedi. Like, that's what it goes for, or at least a Force user. But I feel like that's a total fake out and she'll be in no way related to the Force.
Right. I'm excited. I like you said how they didn't tease Ahsoka. I personally think that Ahsoka won't come into the season until the very end. She'll be like the Gideon of the first season with the Darksaber. I think the Force users brought this up, but they were saying how if you introduce Ahsoka in the middle of the season or like in the beginning, then it becomes the Ahsoka show and not the Mandalorian show. So I think she's going to be used as like the teaser for season 3. And then like the Boba Fett will be that cool character that they introduce in the show. The, you know, that OG character that's like everyone will love, that they'll somehow tease.
I'd agree with that, because if you look at Dave Filoni's style, like, he did it perfectly in Rebels. He brought in Ahsoka and had her become a main character without her taking over the show. You know, like, I didn't have at the end, and he brought her in at the end of the season, and that's what led to that. Like, I never had the feeling that, oh, she was taking over for Kanan, now Kanan's irrelevant. Like, no, Kanan was still a huge character for Rebels, and, like, him and Hera and the crew were the main characters. So I'd hope that they throw her in at the end, even though I guarantee a lot of fanboys are going to be, like, watching each episode thinking, when the hell are they going to bring in Ahsoka?
Yeah, for sure. I just think that's, like, a season 3 thing. I think you need to wait just a little bit longer. Other things that I really, like, thought was awesome from the trailer, I love the music. It's already fantastic. Just from like the beginning moments of the trailer starting, they got that nice, you know, I don't even know what kind of music it is considered, but similar to season 1. And then other things that really stuck out to me, why is Mando being chased by the X-Wings? I don't know. Is it Rebels? Is it someone who just has X-Wings that they're, you know, using? I love, love, love the scene.
On that point, though, dude.
Oh, what?
For the X-Wings, I totally think that that's kind of like their commentary on how, like, post-Rebellion, the Rebels are still kind of like sometimes an oppressive government entity. And so they're kind of being rough on the Mandalorian. And then you also see the Empire being rough on the Mandalorian to kind of show that both sides are far more nebulous than we really think they are. That's at least what my interpretation is that it's going to show a kind of more flawed side of the Rebellion post Return of the Jedi that we would kind of help reconcile the difference we see later on in what led to the First Order.
Interesting. I haven't heard someone say that before, so that's an interesting concept. I do like how they have a bunch of, you know, they tease Rebellion, but they also tease different factions of the Empire, and there's like that's the speeder chases. I like that a lot. Obviously, the highlight of the trailer is the point where he walks into the fighting ring and he pulls out his arm weapon. I'm totally blanking on what it's called. But Baby Yoda, you know, sees it, recognizes what he's going to do, and, like, covers himself. So one of the things that I, like, noticed was that you get, like, a maturity in Baby Yoda and that just, like, those, like, 5-10 seconds of the trailer. Like, I don't know how much of a gap has happened in the show, but you can see that, like, they're getting used to each other's fighting or, like, styles and how they, you know, work. Baby Yoda, like, is like, oh, he's about to fight, so I'm gonna close myself. I'm going to protect myself. And then I also just hope that we get to see the actual fighting in the arena.
Yeah, that was, I think, everyone's favorite moment. Because one, it's just freaking adorable. And it comes with like the quotes of like, where I go, he goes. And you get to see Baby Yoda being like, Dad's about to be badass now. And just covers his lid. It's so funny. And it's also showing that they're doing more with the practical effects than having Baby Yoda just sitting there being a cute little nugget. Like, they're actually having him interact slightly more in the scenes, which I kind of like too.
Yeah, they started to do at the end where he like heals someone and then like he controls the fire. So I hope they continue to do that within season 2. All right, dude, you ready to talk about WandaVision?
I am so freaking hyped for WandaVision after seeing this trailer. Like, you guys, you need to check out the WandaVision trailer. WandaVision being the show that's come to Disney Plus with Vision, who apparently died in Infinity War, and Scarlet Witch, and oh my gosh, dude, it seems so different, and it's kind of the extra new flavor that I think Marvel really needs.
Yeah, it's got this old-timey 50s, 40s, whatever, black and white feeling to it. When I first watched it, I got like BioShock, you know, vibes from it. Just like, if you've ever played that game, it's got that like the old music playing, the black and white, the like, just like the weird, like old timey stuff. And it's definitely Marvel's going into, I feel like, a different direction with this, because, you know, it doesn't seem like this cookie cutter, happy, funny. They're like, there was no jokes cracked in the show or I feel like in the trailer, like it was all, you know, serious, whatever. I think the trailer definitely like turns when he awakens the girl in the car and she's like, oh my gosh, am I dead? And he's like, no. And then she was like, well, you're dead. So like that, like, I feel like that, like, and then everything just kind of like goes super fast and you can't really tell what's happening after that. But like, that was like when the trailer just like really like flipped everything on its head.
That's where everything got like super Twilight Zone-y for me. And okay, for the casual Marvel fan who's just a fan of the movies, you might be confused as all hell on how this like weird reality warping is happening, but that's actually one of the powers of the Scarlet Witch that they have not explored at all in Marvel. Can you kind of like break down that power a little bit?
I mean, they kind of did in Avengers, what is it, Age of Ultron, where she gives Iron Man a vision. And,
true, but a little bit.
But like, you're right, to the extent that she's able to, like, she can literally warp reality and change it. Like in one of the comics, like that she, I believe it's House of X or House of M.
House of M is kind of the famous one everyone always turns to show Scarlet Witch's insane power. How she had that statement of no more mutants, and she literally warps reality so that the mutants do not exist anymore in the X-Men universe.
Yeah, she like kills them, and then she like she, like, yeah, like you were saying, she, like, changes this whole reality around. And so I really think that this, that's what they're kind of doing in the show. You know, you, she's going to bring back Vision somehow. And then you see her using her powers where she kind of looks like she's using the Force, where she's like pouring wine and like setting the table and whatnot. But I mean, I hope like the show has it where she's like, she could be like a Thanos threat level. And I hope that's what they do.
Honestly, though, I really hope they explore that insane level of power, because that's what Marvel Comics does well, and that's when it really thrives, is when it explores this otherworldly kind of power beyond the usual superhero archetypes. And this is a perfect example to do that, and a perfect time for them to break out of the usual Marvel mold. Because everyone gives Marvel heat, like you hear Martin Scorsese and all that, doing all the crap talking about Marvel. But they are correct in saying that it, Marvel does like to do the fun kind of jokey adventures. It does weigh heavily into that. There's so much more to it, but it weighs heavily into that. This is their chance to verge onto the level of creepy and weird, and not necessarily that kind of cookie cutter formula that they know appeals to the masses. This one would be more in the odd formula that I feel like might not get as much audience traction, but will still be like phenomenal to us major fans.
So one of the things that really stuck out to me, like also in the trailer, is that, you know, Vision's wearing his costume, and he, I think he's wearing like his super old costume from the comics. Scarlet Witch is wearing her traditional costume, and they have kids, and they're holding kids in the trailer. I don't know if that's their kids. I know in the comics they have kids, but we'll see where this whole show goes. But one of the things that I'm wondering is, you know, they introduced, you know, Scarlet Witch's brother, and he died in Age of Ultron. I'm wondering if they're gonna bring him back somehow along with Vision. Like, is this gonna be where they create the, you know, the multiverse, like in Doctor Strange, and he has to go and deal with all that, or what's going on? This show has the potential to really blow the doors open when it comes to what can Marvel do with its storytelling.
And with Wanda's powers, like, you can just, there is no limit to what they can do with the series. And to have a series hedged on the idea of a character that is already dead is a main character is already kind of confusing enough. You know, like, how the heck does Vision come back? We have no idea. We get a little teaser with that lady saying, "Am I dead?" because he's dead. But we have absolutely no idea. I'm just excited because it looks super weird, super out there. Gives me that Bioshock or like Fallout kind of creepy Americana type vibe. And I think it'll be so great.
Oh, yeah. I hope that releases soon. I know in the trailer they don't give a month. But I'm hoping that if the trailer comes out soon, then it means that it's going to drop soon on Disney Plus.
Yeah, because, I mean, the TV shows, heck, this is a really golden time for a streaming service because everyone's just watching TV. So I doubt that's going to be delayed to the same extent as, like, Black Widow, but we'll see.
All right, last but not least, we're going to talk about an article that came out with The Hollywood Reporter. It's with Charles Soule. I'm just glad, I read it. I encourage you guys to go and read it. But I'm just like picking up some awesome notes that I found in there, and because I love what they're doing with the High Republic. I'm super excited for it. I already pre-ordered the book in January. It's coming out. So this is some of the things that I like glean from that article that I think it'd be fun to talk about. So Charles says that The Light of the Jedi, it's a disaster movie. It's a mystery. It's a race against time team on a mission story. So what do you think about that, Gary?
I mean, those are kind of like conflicting statements in a lot of different genres, you know, like a mix of disaster, of like mystery aspect, and seems like fast pace. I'm wondering, because they mentioned how in the original High Republic teaser that there's some great calamity that basically changes this picturesque High Republic into more of a dangerous environment. I wonder if that's going to be in Charles Soule's book, because it seems like that's the main event in which this hedges around.
Oh yeah, in the article it talks about how like it's hedged around this calamity, and like then that you can break off, and kind of like how in episode 4 when the Death Star blew up, that affected so many people and the galaxy in general, they're saying that like this calamity that's going to happen in the High Republic is going to be to that same level of degree where now, because it happened, they're able to tell all these stories. So I guess apparently one of the things that he was saying was that their mandate was to always create a massive new chapter in Star Wars and have the history be told across multiple platforms, which I love. I mean, Star Wars has always been doing that, but I mean, giving me the opportunity to go and read a novel, but then also to complete that story, what's going on, to go read a book, a comic book, whether that be an adult version or the IDW version. I mean, I'm going to buy all versions, whether it's young adult novel, young reader comic, or older comic.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to just get all the High Republic stuff for sure, just because I want to explore this new realm. But I see how their intent there is to branch out into more, which is going to lead to the question of when is this going to be on either the big screen or the small screen? When is this going to lead to a TV or movie adaptation, which is probably contingent on the success of the series. So hopefully it'll be a really darn good success.
Yeah, and it sounds like from this article, what Charles was saying is that they spent a lot of time working on this. Like we've talked about in the past, how, you know, the sequel trilogy didn't seem like to be really worked out ahead of time. But he was saying that like they got everyone together, they wove this history of the High Republic, and now they're going to tell these stories in between it. And that just gives me a lot of comfort, that knowing that they at least have this common goal, this history, this like backstory to it, that is like, it's not going to just be like conflicting things that happen as each story comes out.
Yeah, that they have a grand plan is just, it makes me more comfortable with it, like you're saying, because that's the biggest, I think, drawback of the sequels that most people bring up. Like, I love the sequels, but it's hard to deny that drawback. And I'm just excited to have Charles be a part of it too, because you can read his comic material and he just shows a love for the franchise.
Right, and he's also written a couple novels too that are really great, The Oracle Year and Anyone, and they're fantastic. One of the things that he talked about in the article is that this new story, he's going to try doing new pacing, different tension, have different cuts like you have in Empire Strikes Back, just to kind of switch up his writing style, really push himself, which, I mean, if you read his comics, from DC to Marvel to Star Wars, whatever it is, you know, he's always kind of, whatever story he's telling, it's grand, it's big, and he's putting a lot of love into what he's working on. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be dope. But, oh, wait, dude, have you seen, though, the new lightsaber picture Kevin Scott put out there? They're bringing back the side blades, bro. They're bringing back the side blades, and it's kind of cool. It, like, forks off to the side and then shoots out the blades. You can tell it has that Excalibur kind of look to it, but I just appreciate somebody else showing Kylo Ren's style of saber some love.
Yeah, they're really trying to make sure that this gets the love that it deserves, because there's a lot of fan backlash about it. So I appreciate that they're, you know, like they talk about in the article how they want to create something new, but they have history to and continuity to also be aware of when it comes to writing these stories. But I think having, you know, like you were saying, like introducing this new type of sword or lightsaber that plays into what happens in the sequel trilogy really just, like, I don't know, makes the story better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But do you think it's time for justice?
It's always time, Gary.
So it's time for an amazing segment, a segment across the stars, a segment across the universe. Universes. What's plural of universe?
Universes.
Ah, my favorite segment, your favorite segment, Comic of the Week.
Comic of the Week.
I got three comics here. They're all stuff that we've talked about in the past, so you can decide. We got Star Wars number 6 by Charles Soule. We got Thor number 7 by Donnie Cates. And we got Venom 28 by Donnie Cates.
We just hyped up Charles Soule. We got to do the Star Wars one by him.
Okay. This one's cool. I love the cover, because if you are familiar with the 1970s action figures, there is a Star Wars action figure of Luke Skywalker holding a yellow lightsaber, and this cover is him, you know, picking up his yellow, or this, like, holding this yellow lightsaber. I'm showing it to Gary right now, but I
encourage
you guys,
that's so dope.
I encourage you guys to go and read this comic. It's great. Also, like, I'm gonna dive really deep into it, so spoilers. Charles Soule does a great job writing. I don't know his first name. Jesus Sayaz is a great artist. And the colors are Jesus and, I'm going to butcher his name, so I apologize, Arif Prietanto. To pick up the story, Luke is looking for his new lightsaber because he dropped after episode 5. And he gets a force vision to find someone. And it's actually one of the people who trained under, you know, the Jedi and Jedi in quotations in Charles Soule's run, where they're on Mon Cala and he like causes the whole war to happen.
Oh yeah, the dude with like the red horns.
Yeah, she trained underneath him and realized that like the Jedi are, you know, not as great as they seem. So she's super like anti-Jedi, anti-force, like this cosmic force about how like it just takes you in and like has its way with you and you can't really do anything about it. So she is like anti-force, and he goes to like find her to hopefully get some more information, maybe about his lightsaber. And she finds out that he is the son of Darth Vader. So she like puts them in this pit and has water rising. So he's like choking on like, and drowning. And, R2 comes to save the day and shocks her and then like lets the water drain so that Luke can, you know, save himself. Always R2, you know, shocking people. And then he shocks Luke to wake him up. But basically the story is really cool because she's explaining like why she hates the Force, what happened, how she used to be chased by the Grand Inquisitor, how she was chased by Darth Vader, and kind of just telling Luke like, you need to not follow the Force anymore, like you should quit. And I like it because Luke is kind of like, no, this is my destiny, this is like, I'm choosing to, you know, go into the fray, I'm choosing to fight these battles that no one else is willing to fight because I know I have this ability, I have the Force, this is my task that I've been given. It would be wrong of me to just ignore the whole galaxy. Even though that I'm being used by the cosmic force, like, I have a duty to go and help these people. So you should tell me where this lightsaber, I can find it, is at. And she gives it, she deals with him and says, if he goes and looks for this lightsaber, that she should never come back and like talk to her ever again. So Luke goes and he goes to find, it's a planet called Tempest. And it's actually really awesome. There's like this huge old High Republic, which is kind of cool that, because Charles is, you know, teasing the High Republic temple. And as he walks into the temple, he finds a lightsaber. Now, this is where the story gets super, super epic. Because when he picks up the lightsaber, the Grand Inquisitor that has been passed away, like Phantom appears.
And so, like, the Grand Inquisitor from Rebels, like that, that dude.
That dude appears in this temple, and he's on fire. He's on flames. He looks like a Balrog. Like, He looks so cool. The art is awesome. It's got oranges and reds. Like, I'm showing Gary right now.
Dude, that gives me like strong Ghost Rider kind of vibes.
Yeah. And he's the guardian of this temple now. Darth Vader knows about this temple and has placed him there. And so now, like, Luke picks up this lightsaber. It's the yellow lightsaber. And they have this huge fight. And the Grand Inquisitor is like, you suck. Like, whoever trained you did a really awful job. And Luke is like, yeah, I know I'm still in training, but I have some ability. And so they're fighting, and he's able to like take him out. He kind of just like, he slashes through him, and he like the ghost like fades away. But there's at least two or three pages of just like them fighting. The colors are awesome. There's a really cool moment where Luke is like blocking from the top blade, and the Grand Inquisitor clicks the bottom blade and it comes out like the dual lightsaber thing. And Luke's like, oh crap.
That's so cool.
and so Luke defeats him. He goes away, and Darth Vader clicks back to Darth Vader. And he's like, I feel like a disturbance in the Force. I need to set a course for Tempest. And he goes and Vader like is talking to the Grand Inquisitor and he goes, "You failed." And he's like, "He was strong. He was so strong." And the Grand Inquisitor says, "I have served for such a long time, or sorry, I have served for so long. Will there ever be a chance of release?" And Vader responds, "You are but a tool shaped to serve my purpose. You will continue." And then he said, "There are worse things than death." And then like fades away, waiting for the next Jedi to come to enter this temple. And Luke goes and meets up with Leia because they're trying to figure out what they should do. They're trying to find more High Republic bases because the rebels are all, you know, scattered at this moment. So that's the comic. I think it was a banger.
That's so cool. I love the Grand Inquisitor. I love the idea of him like haunting this temple, and also the fact that it's a High Republic kind of nod. Like everything about this is so great.
Yeah, I mean, and just like his anguish that he sees when Vader's like, "You're a tool, like you're gonna serve my will," and he's just like, like there are worse things than death. And I'm just like, oh man, like Charles knows how to write some awesome Star Wars characters.
Well, he knows how to write Vader too, on just the idea of this worse things than death, as in like it's being Darth Vader is worse than dying. Like that's just like so many feels.
Or no, like Grand Inquisitor says that. So like it's like the idea of having to serve Vader is worse than like just like him letting him die.
Like, oh my gosh, that's so freaking heavy, dude. I love it.
I know, right? It's so good. I'm excited to see where the story goes. You know, they've been doing this thing where like Jason Aaron had a 75 issue run where it was in between 4 and 5. So I'm hoping that they give Charles Soule the reign to, I don't think Jason Aaron wrote the whole time, but like I'm hoping he gets a really nice chunk where he's able to tell an awesome story between 5 and 6.
Which like kind of hot take, the mainline Star Wars comic series hasn't really drawn my attention as much because it doesn't throw in a lot of like nuggets throughout the whole Star Wars saga. But Charles has always got this great ability just to throw in all these random nuggets from prequel era, sequel era, and whatever, and throw that into his comics. Like you saw that with the Kylo Ren series too. Like he just adds in so much in there that I'm like, it's going to make me more interested in it if he writes it. Like partly that's my bias, but it definitely will.
Oh yeah. So I hope you guys go and check out this story. I mean the Darth Vader comic that's coming out right now by Greg Pak, it's also really good too. Exploring, you know, Vader trying to deal with Padme and whatnot. But that's comic of the week.
So everyone, we're thinking of starting up some new material here too. Keep your eyes and ears open for a possible Lord of the Rings series coming from us where we break down some of Tolkien's work. Everything's still in the works there. We got some exciting announcements to come that we will wait until we can finally bring it to the Pod Nation before we do. But you can find us on all of your favorite podcasting platforms, as well as Twitter at PodWarsPodcast and Gmail, askpodwarspodcast@gmail.com. Send us a message, tag us in something, send us an email. If you have anything that you'd like us to talk about or questions you'd like to bring up, we'll give you a shout out on the show. We also like to give a shout out to all of our peeps over at Red 5. You can check them out at red5network.com and see all these amazing geeky content. But please, if you could, give us a 5-star review and send in your favorite comment about Justice. You know, like share in what you appreciate about him, because Lord knows I don't appreciate him enough.
Thank you guys for all your continued support. We ask that you guys just subscribe and share. And, you know, the best way to grow, you know, this podcast is just by word of mouth, telling people, you know, how awesome we are. If you want to hear some really quirky dudes talk about some really great content. So thank you guys and have a great week.